Welcome to a brand new season of Kiss My Mic, a podcast with a Gaysian flavor. So, our theme this month is debunking Asian stereotypes in celebration of AAPI Heritage Month this month of May. And I'm very excited to be speaking with my guest today. She is my Clubhouse bestie, my Clubhouse BFF. And we actually used to host a weekly series on Clubhouse, also called Debunking Asian Stereotypes, where we have conversations about increasing AAPI visibility and representation. And so I think it's just fitting to have her as part of this series to kick off the new season. So without further ado, folks, it's my friend Hiromi Okuyama. Hi.
Hi, Mike. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. Yes. Thank you so much for...
Thank you.
Yeah. I know you're super busy, so I really appreciate your time. And, you know, we're used to be the ones asking the questions, right? When you were hosting the series, you know, the discussion. So I think this time... You know, we're going to be asking you the questions, Hiromi. So I'm going to be asking you the questions. So if you're ready, so we can get right to it, if that's okay. Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
So I think, you know, we're kicking off AAPI Heritage History Month, and our theme is debunking Asian stereotypes. And so I guess for the sake of our listeners, or maybe the new listeners as well in this platform, so your perspectives from your point of view, why do you think it's important to debunk those stereotypes?
So, wow. Well, growing up Asian, especially in North America, it was hard. I'm sure you've had your experience, and so many of your guests have had the experiences of growing up here. And because the stereotypes, it kind of, and most of them were negative, so it kind of stigmatized us and had us not look in such a favorable way, and had people kind of, you know, make us not feel comfortable or not feel accepted. And so, yeah, it is hard. So I think it's amazing now there's more dialogue and awareness and talking about this. Especially with being in the industry as well, being an actress for almost 30 years and seeing all the stereotypes and the roles that we got. But now hopefully it's changing. So hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me piggy off of that comment, you know, now that it's changing. So it looks like it's from what you're saying, it's a little better from what it was. So in what ways have you seen things have changed? And then if there are any specific examples of stereotypes that maybe are close to you personally based on your experience, or just things that you have really seen in the community?
So one thing I've seen change are the breakdowns and the way casting directors, directors, and producers send out the breakdowns, and how I'm on Facebook with them, and how mindful and open and how careful, but also how much they really care about not stereotyping or stigmatizing or having that old mentality way of thinking. They, a lot of the casting directors and directors that I see, they're so progressive, and they really, really, really want to embrace people of all diversities. Whether it's ethnic diversity, like or like LGBTQ, and also people of differing abilities, you can just see this more openness and awareness, and all of them trying to really work together to make the whole industry better than it was before. So I've seen that, which is amazing. And so the roles, right? It's so wonderful for the younger generation, I think. And I think it's beautiful. Like I even though it's like, oh, I wish that I was younger and could be part of this movement, I'm glad that I am part of the movement that led the way. Just like I am so thankful for all the Asian actors and actresses that paved the way for us. Like, we honor each step of the way. And so I hope this new generation sees what we went through to push through the stereotypes so that they can have a better future. So hopefully they'll see that in all of us, and we've seen that in the people before us. So that's, yeah. But this, you know, this, the typical stereotypes, like the, like I got a lot of those Japanese. I love being Japanese. Like I seriously do. Mm-hmm. But all those Japanese roles, and they, and even though I'm half Chinese, they only see you one, like the monolith, they only see you one way. I can only go for Japanese roles. And it, most of it was always had an accent. And some of it, like, I don't mind doing accents. I actually love doing accents. But it's like, well, how come I can't play a Chinese role? Or, and then it gets touchy too with, can this person play this role even though they're not? Like, can I play Korean? But I wouldn't want to take that away from a Korean actor who might. Or can I play Filipina? I don't want to take that from a, there's so many amazing Filipina actors. Why would I? So there's that too. Like, but we, like, do we play other roles? So now I think there's enough abundance now of roles for, and now they don't even say this. Like if it's like, unless it's specifically cultural, like your film, like, you know, unless it's specifically cultural, where you should hire, I believe you should hire actors of that background. If it's specifically cultural and you really, I think, or have most of the cast be of that background, unless it's specifically cultural, then I think it's good that it's more open. Like, for example, all those Netflix shows or Disney mm-hmm. shows, if it's like with, like in high school, like if say they did a High School Musical now, you can hire any type of Asian, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so unless it, yeah, if it's like an American Asian, then I think it can be anybody. But I think unless it's there's a specific cultural element to it.
Yeah, I like that. I like what you're talking about in terms of that great criteria, you know, unless it's specifically cultural. It's good to have that part of the conversation nowadays. And to your point, it's great to see casting breakdowns that are more specific and more opportunities for different types of Asians. So let me zoom in on the topic about entertainment. And you've talked a little bit about what's been, you know, happening already. So mm-hmm. in your opinion, what's needed for us to take it to the next level in terms of, you know, that representation, visibility?
To take it to the next level. Oh my goodness, we've come so far. Like, oh my good. Well, first of all, awards, mm-hmm. More movies being out there. So what was wonderful, and we've been talking about this a lot in different rooms that we're in and amongst different friends. So Michelle Yao, mm-hmm. amazing. Like just, you know, her, a film like that coming out right now, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was so good. And you know what's so beautiful? I was actually asked to go to the pre-screening in Toronto. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was so thankful. I couldn't go, so I gave the tickets to my daughter and her friends. So my daughter and her, like, they got to go. And from what I saw from the event, they invited so many Asian influencers, so many Asian business people, so many people in the Asian community, and they made it this big, you know, Asian event, it's not only for Asians, but just to be proud to see, wow, this is a story that we, you know, and then the actor from Goonies mm-hmm. is in it, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like, and my daughter said so amazing and she can't wait to go back and see it. Like when I was her age, well, there was Joylet Club, but it's incredible that, and then it's so incredible now she gets to see all these shows with so many different Asians where we're not just like the minor character, like we're actually main characters. And yeah, and I think social media plays a big role, which we can talk about it later. Mm-hmm. But yes, definitely. Yeah.
You know what's so nice? I mean, I've known you for over a year now, right? I mean, Hiram is just has such a very positive, like infectious charm and energy. You know, when you started talking about Michelle Yeoh, I just started feeling chills in my body, like, oh my gosh, like I'm so excited for her. I haven't seen the movie yet. I can't wait to see it. I don't know if it's playing around me, but you know, I have to see it. They better have it on streaming. But you know, the momentum is there. We need to keep the momentum, you know, for awards season, right?
I mean, mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us in we talk about it. I really believe, like I hope she wins it next year, and it's not specifically because of this movie. It's, you know how they usually give the award for a movie, but it's mostly based on their body of work from before. Mm-hmm. And just because of her body of work, I think she deserves it.
Oh my gosh, it's about time, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's not because, oh, she's Asian and she's going to get... No, did you look at her body of work?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And we need to see more too, right? Like more than Michelle. So maybe let me ask you about that. So maybe you have worked with some, you know, Asian Americans as well, or Asian actors. Yeah. So two questions. Who are some of your favorites? Oh. And then who do you want to work with?
Oh my gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
Oh, no, it's okay. Who are my favorite Asians?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. There's too many. Well, Oh my gosh, there's too many. Well, there's a core group of Asian Canadians in Canada. Oh, I wish I knew this answer before so I can answer it so well. Well, of course. Okay, so there's so many Asians that I know here that I would love to work with again, like Paul Lee, who's on King's Convenience and Mandalorian. Now he's in in the Netflix The Last Airbender. He plays Uncle Iroh. Like, we've been in theater plays, like playwriting groups, and I've seen him in his shows and everything, but I've never really worked with him. I'd love to work with him. And of course, Jean Yoon, and then my friends like Jane Luke, who I'm on Clubhouse with, and my friend Lin Lu. She, like, these are iconic Canadian actresses and actors, you know, that I would, it would be amazing to work with them one day. But honestly, I don't think I'm not putting myself down. I don't think I'm at that level. Not that I'm putting myself down. It's just because I'm more the social media route now, which I'm very proud of as well, which we can talk about. As for American or I would love to work with Michelle Yeoh, of course. like that's my dream. And just because, and then I think you and I would agree, like, is it Henry Golding?
Yes. Yes.
Like, who wouldn't want to work with him? You know?
We're going to have a movie where there's like a love triangle between you, me, and him.
That would be a hot movie.
Yes, we are competing for his attention.
Oh my gosh. He's really hot. He's so cute. You know who I'd love to work with on a comedic level? Well, first of all, my dream was always to be on SNL, which I don't think will ever happen, because just because I love comedy. But you know who I'd love to work with on a comedic level? Ronnie Chung. He is so funny.
Yes, he is.
Like, I just love how comedic he is. And just, I just recently saw one about him and Trevor Noah, and then he's like, Friday! And he was making fun of Trevor Noah's tweet, and he said, you should have said Friday's racist. And Trevor Noah's, why is Friday racist? Exactly! Yeah. It's the engagement! And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's so funny. Oh, and he was so great. Yeah. He's so great in Crazy Rich. I would love to work with him on a comedic level. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, too many Asians. Yeah. Lucy Liu, of course. Tamlyn Tamita. Sandra Oh, of course. Like, all iconic. Oh my goodness, all those iconic Asians. Okay, so there is one Asian person, and I've been putting it on my social media, and all my supporters have been tagging him like crazy. I would love to play his mom. Like, and I just did a TikTok post where I'm like, don't I look like his mom? Because he has this really cool jaw. And his name is Ian Boggs. And we were just, I taught, we, he's very big. He's like 11.5 million on TikTok. Wow. And I think he's going to make it in Hollywood. And I would love to play his mom. Like, because I kind of look like him, and we're both TikTokers. And so he's one person I would love to play his mom. Oh, and he's half Japanese.
Yeah.
He's half Japanese. Yeah.
Calling out the... Yeah. Writers to develop the story, you know.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Let's manage that, Hiromi. I mean, it's.
Yes. Yes. So,
I was just thinking about our reaction when we started talking about Henry Golding. Like, all of a sudden, I need to fan myself over here. This is just an example of kind of like how, you know, we communicate, right? Like. There's just so much fun and, you know, crazy, not craziness, but fun, you know, it's just amazing. So that's why I love Hiromi. So,
yeah.
That's great though about your, you know, your thoughts on entertainment, who you want to work with. Let me kind of pivot a little bit because you mentioned this too, okay. Right? I mean, you mentioned TikTok. You're big on TikTok. You have about 190K followers now, yes, with about 3 million views.
Yeah.
So maybe if you can share a little bit about your journey, like how did you pivot, you know, how did you like stumble upon like the social media route and, you know, and what are your takeaways so far, you know, when it comes to it?
I can talk about TikTok all day and just social media in general. It just literally, it changed my life. I actually started TikTok right before the pandemic, like a lot of people did, because of Gary Vee, right? Like Gary was like, get on TikTok. And then I also saw Charlie D'Amelio too. I'm like, oh, here's this girl. She's like the same age as my daughter and she's so cool. And that girl next door, and then she's like killing it on TikTok. Like I just like, just that relatability. And then Gary Vee saying, get on TikTok. And I saw this interview with Gary Vee and Charlie D'Amelio and her family. And I was like really impressed with her parents. And so I'm like, wow, TikTok. Okay, let me try it. So I started an account for my dad and I started an account for me. Originally, I wanted to do mom content. It was so weird how my life changed. Like I started getting to these mom groups and all these. And then, and then for a year, it was fun. Like I had 2,000 followers, which I call my OG followers, love them. But then I'm like, I'm here on TikTok for a year, but I really want purpose, because if I'm going to spend so much time on TikTok, I really want to grow and have focus with it. So I did work with a TikTok coach. Her name is Wave Wild. She's incredible. She really helped me figure out what I want. And she's like, well, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And what do you love to do? And Gary Vee asks that too. What do you love to do that you can do every day, but also leverage? So I love act. I was falling out of love of acting just because of all the stereotypes. I wasn't getting all the auditions that I wanted. I was just feeling like maybe I shouldn't be an actress anymore. I was thinking of even going like a different route, like a mom influencer or something. But then I started seeing all these amazing acting duets, and I always mention the big three, and you've met them in our rooms before, like Ellian again, Chris Barnett, and Dwayne Wilson, Sicko 2005. They're verified actors on TikTok. They inspired me so much, especially Ellian again, and Chris and Dwayne. They inspired me so much with their acting duets and acting. I'm like, maybe I want to do that. So I started doing acting duets, and I started taking Ellian as model, but she's much younger than me. I'm not going to compete with her, but I put my own spin on it, which I suggest for my tip for anybody, put your own spin on something that's trending or niche. So I did these because I'm a mom of a teen. I'm like, why don't I do mom acting challenges and teenagers who are on the app can duet me. And so I did this mom acting challenge where I was talking about periods, and it related to my mom, where she was telling, and I just put a fun spin at the end. And I didn't expect anything to happen, but that video just blew up. And people are still duetting it to this day. And one of the stars of Encanto duetted it, which is amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, it's incredible. Like it, one video can change your life. And then I realized from there, that's what I want to do. I want to do these mom acting challenges. And then so I started doing just concentrating on that. And I get to be myself, like be a mom. I'm not competing with anyone like younger, all these beautiful younger actresses. And they actually want to duet me. And I get to have fun. And I also put some kind of message sometimes with it. And also the relationship between mom and teen. And a lot of people like resonate with it. So yeah, so that's good.
Yeah. That's very inspiring. I mean, just describing, listening to your journey and how you came up with it. I mean, it sounds like it's very much a process of discovering really what works and finding out what you like to do. And, you know, it sounds like you work with a TikTok coach as well. So are there any key trends within TikTok or social media in general that you're seeing in terms of, you know, what works, or, you know, what's going to be the next stage of kind of like the whole social media world?
So, So I do run social media rooms. I'm actually running one tonight every week. And then I was on Twitter Space last night, like talking about TikTok and social media trends. I think each niche has its trend. So there's like book talk, and there's like each niche, there's this one major trend, and then each niche has its own trend. So the acting world does have its own trend. My account is not, and I tell this a lot, my account's not a super trending account, because I do take elements of what's popular. Like I did a Squid Game, and I did a Bruno, we don't talk about Bruno skit, where I incorporate whatever's popular, I guess pop culture, and I talk about BTS, into my skits. But I don't do specific audio trends or dance trends like a lot of other accounts do, and which works for them. So you have to, when you're on TikTok, you have to really know what's working for you and go with that. I do encourage this. If you want to experiment, I do have an experimental account. So that's like experimental acting. And so it doesn't ruin, because you can mess up your algorithm if you go outside too much of what the TikTok algorithm knows you as.
Those are great advice. Keeping up with kind of like the niche trends and even the experimental accounts. So I think those things would be valuable to people. Any other advice for people who want to, you know, leverage TikTok to grow their professional careers, whatever that is?
Yeah. So I always tell this too. Oh, first, start a branded hashtag. Mm-hmm. So my branded hashtag is my handle. It's a hashtag Hiromi Acts. Mm-hmm. And I started it even so early without even realizing that it would blow up. Like I started early because I actually wanted to use it because I was doing so many different things. I actually wanted to use it to categorize my acting. And I'm so glad I did that, because now my branded hashtag is at 32 million views.
Wow.
Right. So, and yeah, and it's categorized, because if you go to hashtag Hiromi Acts on TikTok, then you'll see all the videos that uses my hashtag. So even I do a call to action where I ask my supporters, hey, if you're duetting me, use my hashtag. And they do. And some of them blow up. Some of them, their views are higher than my original views. Like that. And I love it. I love it when I get a DM from them, like, Hiromi, I gained like 10,000 followers after that video I do. I'm like, yes. And then like, Hiromi, my videos like this, like, oh my gosh, they're like at 500,000K. And mine is like less views than theirs. But I'm so happy that people can grow by duetting me. Like it gives me kind of a happy high when that happens, when I can make other people successful because of my work.
That's always the helpful, very helpful, very kind Hiromi. That's great.
It just makes my heart like when, and they, sometimes they come into my clubhouse rooms or they DM me and like they're like, Hiromi, my video's blowing up. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'll go check it out. And then it's their duet with me, and it just makes me so happy. And it's not only one person, it's like a lot of people. Yes. So it just makes me realize I'm doing something good, and what I'm doing good is helping others. So it just, that makes me happy.
That's good. So if anyone listening here, do a duet with Hiromi. And you know what? Yes. I might challenge myself to do. I'll figure something out, because
you should have an acting account. You should, because you're acting so good.
But I will definitely check it out. And because I know that a lot of the people who are duetting you are acting like your kids, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, I have a lot of people like millennials and people my age. They do it because they do it too because it's fun for them, and it's like, oh, I can feel like a kid again. Mm-hmm. So I have like a lot of women my age that do it too, and I love it because it just feels like we have this camaraderie. I don't know. It's just really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people of all ages. I had someone in there like, 60s or 70s duet of me. I'm like, oh my gosh, I loved it. They were playing my kid, and it was like, feel like they love the energy and stuff. Yeah. So I just love it. Yeah.
I definitely love the energy. I mean, people can see it. So, well, you know, you mentioned Clubhouse. So that's where we met last year. And you're still very, you know, active in the app. I mean, I have to go back at some point. It's been so hard with so many other things that's going on. But also you do have, you know, you teach acting, you teach a class now, is that correct?
On Clubhouse?
On Clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah. So I run a room every Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I used to run it every day. Not anymore. So I run it every day at 9 p.m. And it's a TikTok masterclass. So it's under Teddy Wang's club, the 8 Dragons LLC club. So yeah, I run it. And it's just a mastermind of all these, not only big TikTok content creators, but also content creators. We have a YouTube, we have LinkedIn, we have Pinterest, we have, of course, Instagram, like so many different platforms. We all get together and we talk about what works and we all help each other. It essentially is we're helping each other grow and new people grow. So new people come to the stage, ask questions, or they'll ask questions in the chat now because there's the chat, or they'll back channel me and then we answer it together. And we have a different topic every week. And it's just so lovely. I'm so thankful. Before, when we're doing every day, it was fun. It was smaller, but we had people coming in. It was just a fun kind of everybody coming in. But now we just have this one room and focusing on this one room. But we do pop up rooms throughout the week. And then Teddy and I were on Twitter Spaces last night. Talking about TikTok, we go on Twitter Space sometimes too. But yeah, we just like helping people with TikTok.
That's awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think with TikTok, I've been using it more so now, I guess, for the past 3 or 4 months.
I've been
enjoying it. I should have started like much earlier, but so one of these days I'm going to show up in your room and ask all these questions. All right.
Yeah, you should. Yep.
Yeah. So I think, Hiromi, this is great. We're conversing. We talked so much about debunking Asian stereotypes. We talked about acting. We talked about your thoughts on, you know, representation and also about social media and how it's really a big part of what you do, right?
Yeah.
So I guess let me go back to our original theme, to celebrate AAPI Heritage Month. So how would you celebrate?
I know they're doing a lot of stuff on Clubhouse. I think I'm preparing a room. I haven't even thought of how I'm celebrating. I know there's going to be a lot of celebrations on Clubhouse. So I'm excited about that. Probably talk, you know, doing rooms. I think I might do a food room. I really love the food room we did for debunking Asian stereotypes. I know you weren't able to make it. Jeannie and I did it. That was beautiful. I remember people really miss our rooms, Mike.
I know.
People, like, every week people are like, I miss your room so much. I'm like, yeah, it was so good.
Should we do a comeback?
We should. It's just the timing's hard because now that everything's, like, before it was lockdown. Mm-hmm. So that's why it was easier for us to do it. But oh my gosh. I remember that was so fun. I think just celebrating with people like on Clubhouse, and then there's going to be a lot of AAPI like mental health rooms as well. So I think I might do some. I might do some posts, but a lot of my posts do have. It's not in your face Asian centered, but there is a lot of Asian influences in my posts. So I might do more of that. So I'll
see. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's great that you're. You know, you love what you're doing. You have continued. You're so busy. So what else can people expect from you in terms of kind of your next projects? And then how else can people support you?
Well, you guys can follow me. And you can duet me. I just want to keep doing my TikToks. Just growing my account, but because I'm at a comfortable follower count, and this is what I talk a lot in my TikTok rooms, right now I'm focusing on engaging with my community. So when you first start out, I always tell you, and other social media content creators also tell you, post as much as your mental health allows, as my friend Dr. Patrice Berry says. So if you can post once a day, every day, consistently do that. Or twice a day, every day, consistently, but try and post consistently every day because TikTok likes consistency, and do it like plan for like a month or 2 months where you know you can do it and then grow your account. Once you grew your account, like I've grown my account, I only post like 5 times a week because I like to take the other days to really reply to all the comments. Mm-hmm. And I like to go live. And I also like to, because I have so many duets, I want to watch duets, right, mm-hmm. of me. And I want to make comments. Like, you know, I want to say, hey, I love the way you did this, or I love the way you expressed this, or I love the way you said this word. I like making those comments to people who duetted me because they invested their time to duet me. I want to give back to them. And I don't have time to, I wish there was more hours in the day for me to watch everybody's.
Yeah.
I'm missing a lot, but that's what I want to do. So when you are at a comfortable count, I could grow faster if I want to, if I posted every day and grinded, but I also want to focus on my other accounts as well. Oh, and I also have my own online store, which is inspired by my TikToks. Yes.
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 That's awesome.
So you guys can check out my store too. I'm not wearing my stuff today.
Where can they find out about the store?
Yes, it's the same as my name, Hiromi Acts. So Hiromi Acts. So that's my hashtag name. That's my handle. And then yes, and I have the URL for that. So Hiromi Acts, and my store is there. So yes,
yeah.
You guys, I have like my. And a lot of the sayings are from what, like, my supporters say, like my recent. I did one where it was Year of the Tiger. I have other ones that are coming up, but just fun sayings from my TikTok and my community.
Yeah, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm so glad that we've reconnected again.
Yes,
I can't wait to chat more and learn more about what you're doing. This is the final question I have for you, and you'll like it because, you know, when we used to host rooms on Clubhouse, we used to ask our guests to have a one word that's relevant to the conversation. So today I'm going to ask you in one word, what does Hiromi Okuyama mean?
I guess... charismatic?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I love it. Yes. Yeah, it's always a hard question. So, but thanks for playing along. It's a great word.
Of course.
It's so true.
Yeah.
There's so much more that I can use to describe you. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're kind. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. I know you're super busy, so I really want to thank you for
Can I just say one more thing about Asian representation? Just one more thing that really touched me. Mm-hmm. Because I do duetable content on TikTok, and I find TikTok has really broadened, has given visibility to so many people, not only like, so many people of color, so many people with differing abilities and age too. There's so many women and men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that are doing so well on the app and more. One thing that I am so thankful for, and just because we're talking, going along with debunking Asian stereotypes, is I have that mom character, right? I'm your mom. But even though I'm your mom, I have all these like amazing kids from all over the world who play my kids. So it's so touching that, I can have so many different diversities of children. And I also have a lot of like, actors who are deaf that duet me. I have actors, who have differing abilities that duet me. And it's just amazing that I can be, even though I'm this like Asian person, I can be a mom to all these people, and there's no boundaries. There's nothing that, so that's one thing that really touches me, that when I watch all these videos of people duetting me, and they're in that moment, I'm their mom, and that really touches me.
It's great because that really shows the impact of what you're doing, right?
Oh,
so
thanks.
I mean, I think that's going back to your comment earlier about finding the purpose. It's I feel like you found it and you're doing great, and I can't wait for to see more from you and for others
thank
to see. So I guess Hiromi, I do want to thank you again, and thank our listeners for watching, for listening. So, all right, thanks, Hiromi. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.
All right.